Welcome to The Gift of Grace with Phil Gigliotti and Stephen Garchar. The Gift of Grace is a program where we read and teach God's Word, proclaiming the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah. And now, here's your host, Phil Gigliotti and Stephen Garchar.
Well, good evening, everyone, and welcome to The Gift of Grace on the Word 1220. This is Phil Gigliotti, and my friend Stephen Garchar is, I think, on the phone.
Hello?
There he is.
Hey. Good to hear your voice.
I think in Mongolia. Are you in Mongolia?
No, oh. I can't disclose that.
Oh, okay. He's at an undisclosed location. But we are here on Sunday nights again, and even though we're not in the studio together, it's, I'm sure, still going to be awesome, because whenever you get together to study the Word and talk about it, it's awesome no matter where you are.
Exactly.
Woo. And even though, see, today's the last Sunday of January, isn't it?
It is.
It is. Wow. I can't believe it. In fact, it's the last day of January.
It is. That is true, too.
Woo.
1 month gone. 11 days.
I can't even think about that. I'm just getting used to it being 2016. And it's already 1/12th over.
No, it's 1/12th over.
Right? And I'm sure pretty soon we'll be saying, I can't believe it's 2017.
Pretty soon.
But I'm hoping Jesus comes back before that.
Might be nice.
But if he doesn't, we just have to keep working.
Yeah.
There's lots of work to do in the harvest field.
That is true.
Yeah. We've kind of covered, of course, everything that there was to cover with the events surrounding the birth of the Messiah. And we did the last couple of weeks shows about the flight into Egypt. But as I've been praying and thinking about what we should do with the show, which, you know, we do. We don't have any rehearsal time, but we think and pray a lot about it, which is more important than rehearsal time.
That's true.
Yeah. I think so. I felt a very strong prompting from the Lord that we should talk about Jesus and his natures, his divine nature, his human nature. Mm-hmm. And we've talked, not that we haven't been doing that, but I think that it's important, and we're going to get to maybe next week talking about something that has to do with contemplating the face of Jesus as we're in this probably, you know, 95% of anybody you talk to would agree that we're in the end times.
Mm-hmm.
And of course the end times started when Jesus came.
Exactly.
And probably, you know, 80% of people would believe now that we're sort of in the end of the end times. But whether he's going to come back tonight or a week from today or a year from today or 50 years from today, we don't know.
Right.
But all we need to know is that we have to not only be ready, but we have to make other people ready. We have to present the gospel to everybody that we can.
Mm-hmm.
And as he says in Matthew 9, you know, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few.
Right.
So you ask the Lord of the harvest to send more workers.
Mm-hmm.
So since all you people that are listening to this show are workers in the harvest,
yeah,
you got to get out there and work and try to recruit some more people. But it's very important that we keep focused on him rather than devising our own plans. And, you know, Steve and I, since we've been doing this show, if you've been listening any length of time, you probably remember that when we talk about the Great Commission, Jesus doesn't tell those guys to have as many meetings as possible and try to formulate a strategy of evangelization and, you know, then form some subcommittees that'll take care of the things. And he tells them, all you have to do is wait for the Spirit to come.
Mm, yeah.
Now, that's not to say that there shouldn't be some organization, and I'm not saying you should never get together and meet with people. But the issue is that we need to stay focused on him, and the Spirit will show us where to go and what to do and who to talk to.
Yeah, because if you think about what happened when the disciples were in the upper room and they prayed for 9 days of one accord, the Spirit came in great power.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, God was pouring out the Spirit at that time as the, you know, the birth of the church.
Yeah.
The Feast of Pentecost.
Yeah.
Which is a harvest feast. And what happens is there's a harvest of, you know, 3,000 people that are brought into the kingdom.
On the first morning.
On the first morning. And, you know, when you get away from preaching the truth about who Jesus is, what he's done for you, and the glory that he revealed, and his mercy and love and the forgiveness that is offered through, through his life, death, and resurrection, and specifically through his shedding of blood on the cross,
mm-hmm.
then you lose the whole message.
Yes.
And if a church is floundering, what's the message?
Yeah.
You know, you can't preach, you can't just preach one side of or one part of the gospel, which some, you know, sometimes
yes.
people like to do that.
Yes.
You have to preach, you have to preach about Jesus because he's the center of it.
Exactly.
Without him, there's no basis or no bearing for any of it.
Exactly.
So,
well put.
You know, if we want to see a, you know, a re-evangelization of God's people or a re-harvest, if you will, you know, you and I have talked about this many times. We got to get back to the kerygma, the
yes.
kernel of truth that is, I want to preach Christ and him crucified.
Exactly.
I want to focus on the cross because that's where it all starts.
Yes. And a couple of years or so ago, we did a series of 9 shows about this, mm-hmm. the cross being the center.
Yeah.
And I think that's not to be boasting, but I think that was the best series that we did.
Oh, you're boasting.
I'm boasting again. But I often think the part of that that always comes to my mind is Paul saying in Corinthians, 1 Corinthians, Paul saying, you know, I don't come with eloquent words and I don't come here with all my knowledge and debating skills and all my, you know, stuff that I know. I just come here and preach the cross. I just preach Christ and Christ crucified.
Right.
And if I come here with eloquent words, that robs the cross of its power because
exactly.
then people get diverted from what the center is.
Exactly.
And this is the key because like everything else, we have to go back to the fall of Adam and Eve leads to a separation. And then God reveals himself to the people, first he forms the people, starting with Abraham, reveals things to them gradually, makes covenants with them, makes the main covenant of law through Moses, and the issue is God is holy, the people are not.
Mm-hmm.
The people cannot approach on their own. The people have to go through the sacrificial system, through the Levitical priests. You know, the high priest, all these things, because if someone goes up and touches the ark, they'll be struck dead.
Yeah.
Because God is holy. The person who touches the ark is not holy. And so sinful people cannot approach the holiness. But now the plan of salvation leads to Yeshua, Jesus, the God-man, being the bridge between the holy God and the sinful man,
mm-hmm.
having both natures, divine and human, 100% of both natures, not some fraction of the two.
Right.
And both natures are in the same person, if you can use the word person. In his humanity, he's a person, but
right.
he's also the eternal God who's co-equal to the Father and the Spirit as God, same substance.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we could talk for 28 years about that and we wouldn't understand it.
Probably,
we could talk
yeah.
for 2,800 years and we wouldn't understand it. But
the
key is that in this Messiah, in Yeshua, whose name, by the way, means salvation, which I think is a really good point, and we've talked about this before. We know him as Jesus, and that's terrific. There's a, that's a, the holiest of names, and that's the English translation of his name.
Right.
If you're in a Spanish country, you call him Jesus. If you're in Italy, you call him Jesu. If, you know, depending where you are, you have different words for him.
Right.
But his name is Yeshua, which means salvation.
Yeah, you bring up a point that's a good point, because you know that I do music ministry. And
so do I.
I know that. And you know your minor chords better than I do, though.
I don't know. Then you talked about this diminished thing. I don't know.
Oh, sorry about that. But anyway, there's a song. There's a song that from Hillsong Church, written by Brooke Fraser.
Oh,
called,
yeah.
Hosanna.
Ooh.
Now, when we sing it, we sing Hosanna. Some people want to sing Hosanna.
Mm-hmm.
And you're singing about the same person. But it's just the difference of what culture did that person write the song in.
Mm-hmm.
They say Hosanna. They say Hosanna. Jesus, you know, mm-hmm. Yeshua. What you're talking about is the same substance.
Yes.
We may call him by a different name because of our language.
Right.
But our language doesn't separate who he is.
Exactly.
Our language doesn't diminish who he is, nor can it ever take away anything of who he is as God,
mm-hmm.
because God created language. You know, so there's those little debates that come up from time to time that people get caught into, and it's like, don't worry, you know, we don't have to get caught into that fray, because we are talking about
yes.
the same person
yes.
of the Trinity who came to redeem us.
Yes. And as our friend Paul Wilbur likes to say, we call him Yeshua because that's what his mother called him. Oh, I just got back, by the way, from the Paul Wilbur Ministries board meeting, so I'm all pumped up.
You're all.
But anyway, makes me want to move to Jacksonville. But anyway.
Oh, man.
So this, we're going to start this show. We're going to do basically three readings that really is going, I think, puts a perspective in what we're talking about here. And Steve, if you want to read from the book of Exodus, which is the second book of Moses, also known as Exodus,
okay.
chapter 33, 17 through 23, let's read that and we'll talk about that.
Okay. The Lord said to Moses, "This request too, which you have made, I will carry out, because you have found favor with me and you are my intimate friend." Then Moses said, "Please let me see your glory." The Lord answered, "I will make all my goodness pass before you, and I will proclaim my name, Lord, before you. I who show favor to whom I will, I who grant mercy to whom I will. But you cannot see my face, for no one can see me and live." He continued, "The Lord, is a place nearby, or near me, where you shall station yourself on the rock. When my glory passes, I will set you in the cleft of the rock and will cover you with my hand until I pass by. Then I will remove my hand so that you may see my back, but my face may not be seen."
Ooh. Now, this is a great interaction between God and Moses. Remember, God and Moses spoke like you speak to a friend.
Yeah.
God says, "I speak to Moses like you speak to a friend. I'll never speak to anyone like I speak to Moses ever again." Moses' face would glow after he spoke with the Lord. And
yes.
this was a intimate conversation that was actually a conversation. It wasn't word. It wasn't some premonition. It was God, Lord, all capital letters. And remember, when you see the word Lord, all capital letters, that's God's name.
Mm-hmm.
That's Yahweh. That's his name. But the context of this is right after the golden calf is made.
Yeah.
And this is bad news, because Mr. Aaron, Mr. High Priest, the first high priest, is the one who points to this calf and says, this is the God who delivered you from Egypt.
Yeah.
And then he says to Moses, who of course is also his brother, says, well, you know, we threw the gold in the furnace and this calf came out. I mean, what a half-baked excuse that was. That didn't fly. So 3,000 people had their throats cut that day for this gross idolatry. And God, of course, was upset, not pleased. Moses was upset. God says, this is horrible. You guys, you can go to the land. There'll be milk and honey there. I'll get rid of the people, but I'm not coming with you. And Moses intercedes because Moses becomes a type of Christ. The Old Testament is full of types and shadows. And he intervenes to God for the people and says, oh, Lord, if you don't come with us, we're not even going to go. What's the point of even going?
Right.
But God is mad at the people, but Moses intervenes. And finally, God says, okay, since you're like this, and I know you, and you're asking me this, I'll go with you. So then Moses, as this faithful servant, you know, Moses is always called the servant of God. You know, even in the Revelation, it says, you know, when we go to heaven, we're going to sing the song of Moses and the song of the Lamb.
Mm-hmm.
And it says the song of Moses, comma, the servant of God. So even though he's this servant, this close friend, face is glowing, he says, I just want one thing. I want to see your glory.
Yeah.
And God says, nope, you can't do it. Because no human, nobody can look on me. Nobody can see my face and live. And even though Moses is this close friend, he can't see the full glory. And interestingly, too, there's this friendship between God and Moses with this intimacy. Moses wants more intimacy. He wants more.
Mm-hmm.
He wants to see him. You know, a sinful man wants to run away from God.
Yeah.
You know, when you do something bad, you feel like running away because, you know, when I was doing the radio show or when I was teaching the Bible study or when I was singing at church, God really loved me then. But now I did this thing. And not only does he not love me, I don't think he even likes me now. So I better get out of here.
But, yeah, I just wanted to say, when you're talking about that, what it really emphasizes, as I'm hearing this, is that separation between God and man.
Yes, exactly.
The veil that is there that, you know, Adam and Eve walked, God walked with Adam and Eve in the garden.
Ooh.
They saw his glory. They saw the God.
Ooh.
But Moses couldn't see God because of that separation that happened in the garden, the sin.
And here comes an awesome song along those lines. Remember, check out giftofgraceministries.org. We'll be right back.
You placed your hand over his face. In your presence, he wouldn't die. And all Israel saw your glory, and it shines down through the age. Now you've called us to boldly seek your face. Show me your face, Lord. Show me your face. And then gird up my legs, I might stand in this holy place. Show me your face, Lord. Your power and your grace. just see your face. David knew there was something more than the ark of your presence. In a manger, Messiah once born, amongst kings and some peasants.
You're listening to The Gift of Grace on AM 1220, The Word.
Well, welcome back to The Gift of Grace on The Word 1220. Boy, that hit that. That song hits this pretty much right on the head.
Yeah. That's an awesome song.
Well, so Moses wants more. Moses, of course, is also a sinner, but he doesn't want to run away from God. He wants more. But God says, you can't see my glory or else you can't live. And then he makes a solution. God makes a solution. And everybody pretty much knows about the cleft of the rock that's mentioned there.
Mm-hmm.
So God says, there's a place here next to me. So beside him, that's a rock. And a cleft, of course, is a defect in the rock. It's kind of a... oh, I don't know. Let's call it a wound in the rock. It's a part of the rock that's missing. And he puts Moses in that cleft, covers him up, and then when he lets his hand go, he sees part of the glory, which is way more than he could see. Before he couldn't see any of it.
Mm-hmm.
And Paul, St. Paul, talks about this in kind of an interesting way, and you see the powerful imagery in this, because in 1 Corinthians 10, verse 4, do you have that there, Steve?
I do.
Yeah, why don't you read that?
I do not want you to be unaware, brothers, that our ancestors were all under the cloud, and all passed through the sea, and all of them were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. All ate the same spiritual food and all drank the same spiritual drink, for they drank from a spiritual rock that followed them, and the rock was the Christ.
Woo. Yep. Woo. So the rock was the Christ, was the Messiah. The rock was Jesus, and it followed them through the wilderness, the spiritual rock. Remember, when Moses struck the rock, water came out. When Moses spoke to the rock, water came out. When Moses stands in the cleft of the rock, the defect in the rock, the wound in the rock, he's able to see the glory. The rock, you know, God says, the rock is here right beside me. You know, Jesus sits at the right hand of the Father. The rock is here right beside me. So if you come, if you get on the rock, in the rock, who is Christ, as Paul just said, and you get into the cleft, which represents his wounds, you can come close. You can see the glory.
you know, it makes you wonder when Jesus renames Peter or Cephas to Peter and says, "You are a rock."
Yeah.
And upon this rock, I'm going to build my church.
Yeah.
Makes you wonder why he used that word rock.
Yeah, exactly.
Because you're talking about that.
Yeah, it's fascinating.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're not in the rock, not only can you not see the glory, but if you try to do the holy thing, you're going to be struck down.
Yeah.
You can't even approach except through the rock. And Paul says the rock was the Christ. The rock was the Messiah. Christ and Messiah, of course, are terms, the same term.
Right.
We use the word Christ, which comes from the Greek Christos. We use Messiah, that comes from the Hebrew word Mashiach. But they mean the same thing.
Yeah. You know, it also makes me think of when Jesus is there at the woman, with the woman at the well. And, you know, he asked for a drink. And he says, if you knew who you were talking to, you would ask me for a drink. I would give you life-giving water.
Exactly.
You would never thirst again.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And so this imagery of the people in the wilderness and the water coming from the rock. And of course, the water is another, one of the symbols of the Holy Spirit, along with oil and fire too. But water and oil are commonly signs of the Holy Spirit. Jesus, like you just said, you know, a couple different places, he says, you're going to have springs of living water inside of you.
Yeah.
I mean, that's amazing. The woman at the well gets the picture after a while.
Yeah.
The people in the wilderness, they're thirsty because they're in a desert. So God tells Moses, you know, talk to the rock and the water will come out. Okay, so he gets in a little trouble there. But basically, the water comes out.
Yeah.
And the physical people drink physical water because they're thirsty. They're in a desert. But also, if the rock is the Christ, the rock is Messiah, the Holy Spirit comes because of the rock. As we talked about before, the Holy Spirit's poured out on believers because they're believers in Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Because they believe in what he did and who he is. And so these are really great parallel passages.
Yeah.
And, you know, Moses just gets... I mean, imagine when Moses dies and God tells him what the plan of salvation is going to be. He's probably blown away.
Mm-hmm.
When he's at that, you know, in the Mount of Transfiguration and he and Elijah are talking to Jesus, you know, Moses is probably thinking, wow, you know, all that stuff I did is just all leading to this.
Yeah. Yeah. You have to wonder.
Woo.
You have to wonder.
Yeah, and now... we're going to talk about another guy in the Old Testament who happens to be one of my favorites, who saw some
Isaiah?
Of the, yes.
Oh, how did I know that?
Who saw some of my glory. I mean, this guy's like major prophet.
He is?
I mean, yeah. I mean,
yeah,
you might as well make it a capital M. He's a major prophet. And, like, you know, when he looked at people like, well, we won't mention any names that have
you better not.
Three or four chapters. He probably just said,
Yeah, you're better off not mentioning any more names.
No. We'll deal with that when we're in heaven. But Isaiah chapter 6, this is another one of these passages that most people know. They may not know it's Isaiah chapter 6, but they know the passage.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have that handy, Steve?
I do.
Great. Why don't you go ahead and read that?
In the year King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord seated on a high and lofty throne, and the train of his garment filling the temple, or with the train of his garment filling the temple. Seraphim were stationed above. Each of them had six wings. With two they covered their faces, with two they covered their feet, and with two they hovered. One cried out to the other, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. All the earth is filled with his glory." At the sound of that cry, the frame of the door shook, and the house was filled with smoke. Then I said, "Woe is me, I am doomed, for I am a man of unclean lips, living among a people of unclean lips, and my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." Then one of the seraphim flew to me, holding an ember which he had taken with thongs from the altar. He touched my mouth with it. See, he said, now that this has touched your lips, your wickedness is removed, your sin purged. Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? Who will go for us? Here I am, I said, send me.
What a great passage.
Yeah. You know, the Hebrew for that is, there's a song that we all know is Kadosh, which is Kadosh,
oh,
Kadosh, Kadosh.
I love that song.
Adonai Sevaot. Yeah.
I love that song.
That's a great song.
I mean, this is such an amazing vision because Isaiah, he's already a prophet. I mean, he's already been through five chapters. He's already a prophet. Mm-hmm. But now something extraordinary happens to him because he has this vision of seeing God sitting on his throne. And the hem of his robe fills the whole temple. And he sees the angels, the seraphim and all the different ranks, you know, I don't know which is which, but you know what I mean. All these different ranks of angels. Ooh, now they're going to be mad at me too.
Oh.
I like Gabriel though. Anyway.
You better say that.
So he sees this and the smoke and the angels, and you can imagine that he hears the song that they sing. So there's music involved, and it, I mean, it just would be so powerful. And he literally comes apart at the seams. And what's his complaint? Oh, I'm an unclean person, and yeah, I've seen this. Now, he knew Exodus 33. Isaiah was not just, you know, some ordinary guy schlepping around. He was a prophet. He knew what was in the Torah. He knew the experience of Moses wanting to see the glory and God saying no. And now he got a glimpse of the glory. And he says, oh no, I'm a sinful man and I've seen the glory.
Mm-hmm.
He's probably thinking he's going to die.
Yeah.
And you look at these angels that he talks about. I mean, it sounds weird. They got six wings and it's weird, but with two of the wings, they cover their eyes.
Yeah.
So even these angels, they can't look directly at the glory of God. They cover their eyes as they're flying. But they keep saying, holy, 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 kadosh, kadosh, kadosh.
Mm-hmm.
And Isaiah's taking this all in. And you know, there's that one song that, you know, holy, holy, holy is a song that heaven sings. So it's another Paul Wilbur song. I can't think of the name of it offhand. But anyway. Is that the same song? Anyway.
That's holy, holy, holy.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, this is what they do with their eyes covered. And, you know, many observant Jews will cover their eyes with their hands when they say the Kadosh because of this passage, because of what the angels were doing.
Mm-hmm.
But he gets a pretty good glimpse of this and he says, oh, I'm doomed. I'm doomed. Because let's face it, when you see even a glimpse of holiness and glory and you realize what you are, you say, I'm not worthy to see this. I'm not worthy to even be here. And interestingly, too, it indicates that the angel comes with the ember and cleanses him.
Yeah.
So from heaven comes his cleansing. It's not, God doesn't tell Isaiah to go in the desert and pray and fast and do anything. And he gets his sin cleansed from heaven. The angel comes and does it. Then he can serve because then, you know, paraphrasing, God basically says, I need somebody to do some stuff. So who am I going to send?
Yeah.
He says, Hineni, send me. Here I am. Send me.
Mm-hmm.
And Isaiah then goes on to be Isaiah. You know, he's got 60 more chapters after this one. So he goes through and does
work.
Oh yeah, man, that guy, you know, and he has all these chapters prophesying the birth of Messiah, prophesying the virgin will be with child, prophesying Gentiles are going to come too. I mean, there's so much in it, in that book, and it begins when his sin is cleansed. He sees this glory, and he says, send me.
Woo. Yeah. I mean, he's ready to serve.
Woof.
You know, as you're saying about how he sees this vision of, he sees, you know, the throne of God with God sitting on it. And like you said, he would have known, you know, Exodus 33, mm-hmm. God telling Moses, you can't see my face. No one can see me and live. I'm going to pass you by, and then you can see my back.
Mm-hmm.
So for Isaiah to experience this, you know, it's no wonder he would cry out, "Oh, woe is me! I'm doomed. I'm a goner."
Yeah.
Because he would understand that. He would understand that to the fullest. Yeah.
Yeah, and as the angels are singing and the smoke's rising and the whole building is shaking, I mean, this would be really something.
Oh, yeah.
And it's another glimpse of the glory.
Mm-hmm.
They had the Torah. They had the other scripture. They had the Ark. At this point, they had the temple. The Ark was in the Holy of Holies. This is the time of the first temple. They had all these things, but then he sees this visual display of the glory that he just fell down.
Yeah.
You know, he could walk around anywhere in Israel and say, well, I'm Isaiah and I'm a prophet and thus says the Lord. But when he actually sees the Lord, he falls down on his face. Because then he realizes what he actually is. But he's used in such a powerful way that even down to, you know, we did all those prophecies of his about people who didn't seek me will find me. And I'll say, here I am to people who aren't my own. And all these tremendous prophecies about the worldwide kingdom that we have in the Jewish Messiah.
Yeah.
And he kind of gets it all down on paper after he has this experience and goes on with his life because he's seen the glory.
Yeah.
Woo.
Yeah. It's quite extraordinary. Quite extraordinary.
Yeah.
And this glory that he sees is what, you know, when Jesus says, there's many who long to see what you see, but did not see it.
Good
there's
point.
Many who long to hear what you hear, but they did not hear it.
Good you know, point.
Jesus is referring to himself, obviously, because he is that glory.
Amen.
That was revealed to Moses, and that was revealed to Isaiah in these two, you know, these two parts of Scripture.
Amen. And that's the point. That's the point. And for those of you that are listening, you have to take my word for it that we didn't rehearse this.
No, we didn't.
In fact, about 2 minutes before we started the show, I said, I think I'm going to talk about this glory. But this is exactly the point that we're going to get to, is that Jesus as God, as the second person of the Trinity, as divinity, as co-equal with the Father and the Spirit, same substance. I forget what the Greek word is, but it's a cool Greek word. But the same substance, the same essence, is the Shekinah glory, is giving Moses the law, is the glory that Isaiah saw, is all these manifestations of God that are in the Old Testament. And even back to in Genesis, I think it's 18, it says, the Lord came to Abraham, and then Abraham looks up and sees three men. And then he calls them Lord singular. And then the three men say, I. You know, there's this three and one and three concept that kind of goes through the Old Testament also. you have to look for it, but there's, these things are revealed in the Old Testament too. So Jesus as God is in these manifestations that God shows of himself in the Old Testament. Ooh, this is good too. We'll let the break go and then we'll get into a New Testament reading. Remember, check out giftofgraceministries.org.
Lost are saved, find their way at the sound of your great name. All condemned, feel no shame at the sound of your great name. Has no place at the sound of your great name. The enemy, he has to leave at the sound of your great name. Jesus, worthy is the Lamb that was slain. Son of God and man, you are high and lifted up, and all the world will praise your grace.
Listening to The Gift of Grace on AM 1220, The Word.
Well, welcome back to The Gift of Grace on The Word 1220. So now since we're in the last segment, I really want to end with this. Let's read, Steve, Colossians chapter 1. and it's about 15 through 18, but I don't have it in front of me.
let's see. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For in him were created all things in heaven and on earth, the visible and the invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created through him and for him. He is above all things, and in him all things hold together. He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he himself might be preeminent. For in him all the fullness was pleased to dwell, and through him to reconcile all things for him, making peace by the blood of his cross, whether those on earth or those in heaven.
Whew.
Yeah.
Now, here's Paul. Long after Isaiah, long after Moses, Paul knows all the stuff that they wrote cold. He knows everything. But now here he's talking about Jesus of Nazareth.
Mm-hmm.
Here he's talking about human Jesus. Now, a little more than a month ago, we had Christmas. We had the Nativity of the Lord.
Right.
And we had a baby lying in a pile of hay. Paul says, in this baby, in this human person, the fullness of the Godhead dwells. He's talking about a man. He's talking before that about a baby lying in a pile of straw.
Yeah.
He's the image of the invisible God. By him. Now, think about the baby in the manger. Think about little Jesus growing up. Think about Jesus the adult walking around, thinking about Jesus suffering and dying for us, as he mentions at the end. By him, all things were created. They're in heaven and on earth. You know, there's a great song that Chris Tomlin sings about the one who put the stars in order is lying in a manger. And it's incomprehensible. So all these things, visible and invisible, as the Nicene Creed says, were created by him, for him, and through him.
Mm-hmm.
All these things are for him. He's before all things, and in him all things consist.
Yeah.
And he's talking about Jesus of Nazareth. He's talking about the humanity and divinity of Messiah, but he's talking about him. Think about the human form, because the fullness of the Godhead dwells in him. And because of him, it says he can reconcile all things to himself, things on earth, things in heaven, because he made peace through the blood of the cross. It's reconciled because he made peace through the blood of the cross. Nobody could touch the ark. Nobody could go through the veil. Nobody could go up to the front of the tent or the temple and say, hey, what are you priests doing up here? I want to go see the ark.
Right.
Nobody could do that. But he makes peace by the blood of the cross.
Yeah.
As the second Adam, as Paul talks about in Romans. So in this person of Messiah with both natures, you have the Old Testament creator, Shekinah, law, makes the covenant. And now you have, in a human form, he's going to make the peace and reconcile all things because of the blood of the cross.
Yeah.
Woo.
Wow. Yeah, you know, when you were talking about this, I was thinking back to when David moved the Ark of the Covenant,
mm-hmm.
and it was about to fall, and the one person went out to touch it.
Uzzah.
Not to touch it because he wanted to, but just so that it wouldn't fall.
Yeah.
He was struck dead.
Yeah. David got scared.
Yeah. He was like, oh, we're not going to move that anymore.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's leave the ark here for
just
a while.
Leave it right here. Make it level. Don't go around. Just leave it there.
Oof.
But that is the power of God, and that is the holiness of God.
Yes.
And, you know, this, what Paul's describing, as you were just, you know, talking about, is this little baby. It's lying in this manger is the fullness of God.
Yes.
In him is the fullness of God, and we see his glory.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. The creator, the covenant maker is this human person who's going to make peace by the blood of the cross. I love that passage from Colossians because it really ties together the glory of the Old Testament and the covenant of grace that we have through Messiah, who's the God-man, as the only solution to the sin problem. And so for those of you that are listening, you know, if you think this is crazy talk, it does sound kind of crazy, but think about it, because without him, you have to face that glory on your own. If you're not in the cleft of the rock, if you're not with him, you have to face this on your own. And it's not going to have a good ending.
Yeah, because you're not covered in the blood of the Lamb.
That's right. That's right.
You know, that rock, as you were talking about earlier, that rock is Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And when we are in that cleft of Christ, when we're covered by his blood, it's just like the Israelites at the Passover and Exodus. They were protected.
Yes.
They were covered.
Yes.
When we're covered, we're protected. If we're not covered, if we shun God and we dismiss him, we're not protected.
Hmm.
And we do have to face his glory all by ourselves.
Hmm. Yeah, because you're going to feel like Isaiah, and you're going to fall on your face.
Yeah, you can be the proudest person, the strongest person in the world, but if you see God's glory, you're going to fall to your knees.
Woo! End of the show already.
Yeah.
Wow, I hope you've had an awesome Lord's Day.
And we just pray that by the grace and mercy of God, you would come to receive him as Lord and Savior through his Son, Jesus Christ. God bless everyone. Have a great week.
You've been listening to The Gift of Grace with Phil Giliotti and Stephen Garchar. Phil and Steve will be back next week when they will once again teach God's Word, proclaiming the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah, right here on AM 1220, The Word. Thanks and God bless.